Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Daniel Richardson. He's the founder of Makali'i Metrics, a company that empowers the aina with data. And Daniel, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha nui, Bert. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you and have an opportunity to talk about Makali'i Metrics. And of course, you know, I have a fondness for data, especially companies that seek to be data informed and especially tying it into the aina and lessons that we could learn as a result of gathering data. But maybe at a high level, kind of tell us a little bit about what Makali'i Metrics actually does.
So what we are doing currently, Makali'i Metrics, is redefining these aina-based data sciences by integrating traditional Hawaiian knowledge with advanced tools, data analytics, all with a focus on soil fertility, soil health, climate resilience, sustainable food systems, and supporting local agriculture here in Hawaii.
And your background has been, for the most part, I think, coming out of the College of Tropical Ag, right?
That's correct. Yeah, undergraduate and graduate degree from CTAR.
And tell me a little bit about the partnership that you've cultivated with your co-founder, Kuha'o Zane, which, you know, I think a lot of people know of, but perhaps don't know that he's involved with a sort of a science-based data analytics company.
Yeah, super, super grateful to have co-founded this initiative with him. He's just an amazing person. And yeah, kind of met him through my old graduate school advisorship. They had been discussing what aina-based data looks like, should look like. And I think along the way during their discussion, they looped me in through my experience in the private agricultural sector here in Hawaii, and was just super grateful to have joined that conversation with them.
How would you characterize what aina-based data is? And I need to mention that, you know, I've had folks like Brian Glazer on, and they've done quite a bit of work out at the, like, as an example, the He'ia fish pond. And a lot of it is involving, you know, measurement of tides and, you know, various water conditions as well as weather conditions. What is it that you would tend to look at measuring as it pertains to the soil and kind of more aina-based?
Yeah, that's a deep question. And I'll do my best to answer it. But, you know, first, kind of going back to the traditional ways of measuring things here in Hawaii, that practice of kilo is observing over time, generational observations, when the winds change, when the weather changes, when the seasons change, and how that affects productivity, community health, all of those things. And so, you know, what we are seeking to do is strengthen those types of observations through data and just kind of using these modern analytical tools as a new form of kilo or to add to someone's already generational practice of kilo. And so some of the things we're looking at when we're measuring the soil is one, the soil fertility, which is the capacity to supply nutrients for crop productivity, and supporting yields, rotation after rotation. That's kind of one side of it. The other is soil health, which is different from fertility, but basically how resilient and alive is your agricultural or cropping system or a conservation system? Is carbon making its way back into the soil, which is going to help retain water, which is going to help reduce erosion, all of those things. And so with weaving all those together, the kilo, the modern tools, fertility and health, we're hoping to have kind of a holistic view of what aina is as it relates to lepo, the soil.
So your background has been through the work and studies that you've done at the, you know, at CTAR, and I want to get an idea as to what, how do you guys differentiate between perhaps what you do with Makali'i metrics and what Kuha'o does? How do you guys kind of team up as well as complement each other?
Yeah, you know, so teaming up and complementing, obviously we're both from here, Hawaii, Native Hawaiian ancestry. And so kind of collaborating on that thread in terms of creating a new lens in which we can look at all of this. And then Kuha'o is just such an expert at kind of bringing story, bringing Aina-based elements into something new, which, you know, most people know is the Aloha Shirt Company, Sustain Designs. All of those designs, they have this depth of place, depth of story. And so I think that's one of the common threads we're touching on here with Makali'i is how can we add that depth of place, those historical narratives to a data set that we're using to support an Aina practitioner in that space. And a lot of that comes with building relationships with the folks that are working in that space who have those generational stories, observations, and using that to kind of add that depth to our reports, to our narrative, to our trials that we want to implement in the space, et cetera.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I do want to, you know, get a chance to talk a little bit about the, you know, the business model. Who are you bringing some of these tools and value added insights to? And then how do you weave some of this sort of deep storytelling into that product line? So what we'll do is we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Daniel Richardson, founder of Makali'i Metrics. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Daniel Richardson. He's the founder of Makali'i Metrics, a company that empowers the Aina with data. And right before the break, Daniel, you were talking about some of the stories that really can go deep into a place. And I think that's a great way of seeing, kind of like you mentioned, the generational impact of things that are happening on the land that perhaps, you know, in modern days we might, you know, we might miss. So if that can be brought back into the, let's say, the value proposition that you're bringing, that would help to kind of give the folks that are receiving your services a better understanding of what it is that they're doing, you know, on the land. So I'm curious, is it much of a effort to convince people of that kind of value proposition if they're just trying to get a high producing crop off the land?
That's a great question. So, you know, I think the effort in that regard is more placed on identifying what those stories are. And it takes relationship building with our community partners or with folks that we haven't dealt with before. And you know, we have to establish that trust and establish that, you know, we're not bringing anything extractive to that space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People are fairly on board with receiving that depth. But at the same time, you know, one of our North Stars at the moment is to establish a locally situated service lab here in Hawaii, which there currently is not right now. We're heavily reliant on continental laboratories, which, mm-hmm. You know, as accurate as they may be, it's just kind of exporting revenue that could be captured here in Hawaii, exporting jobs in the AINA-based sector, which, you know, folks here are super passionate about. And so, yeah, with these tools, a lot of the effort, I think, we can convince people and we can offer some basic tools like basic soil fertility tests. But at the same time, you know, what everything else we have to offer is there as well for folks that are interested.
So this lab that you're talking about, what was it? What does it take to actually establish something like that here in Hawaii?
Yeah, so you need a physical space, of course, and then the right instruments to measure the certain elements in the soil, all of the things we want to pass on to our users, mm-hmm. which is the basic elements of soil fertility, macro and micronutrients, as they're available to the plants, and then some of the basic building blocks of soil health, mainly that organic carbon. Are we building that? Is it at a low level? Is it something that we can focus on increasing as we promote good land stewardship, good crop production? Because that's another challenge that Hawaii is facing, is that, you know, if you're going to be stewarding a place, you're going to be producing crops, it's tough to make a living doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these tools can help dial in efficiency and increase yields or decrease fertilizer usage.
Do you see Makali'i metrics being more focused on helping to create that lab or more focused on helping, let's say, farmers get better yields off their land? Which direction do you see Makali'i metrics going in?
Definitely the latter. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the latter is using that lab as a tool to kind of accelerate that process. And not only, you know, the space itself, but leveraging that space to kind of bring new talent, bring new ideas coming out of UH, coming out of local high schools, and seeing what new ideas can be applied into a space like that here in Hawaii.
Do you see, well, I want to get a little bit into the work that you folks do. And when talking about the AINA, there's, you know, if you look at the Ahupua'a, I mean, there's difference in environment from the shoreline all the way to the mountain. So there's different kinds of conditions that you're going to encounter all along the way. So when you look at soil fertility, I mean, it's going to be different depending on where you are. So how do you start to look at, you know, the uniqueness of the place that you're actually studying for that particular, let's say, customer of yours? They may be growing a particular crop, but then you may have other customers that are in different environmental conditions. So how do you start to now kind of like differentiate what is good for one place versus what is good for another place?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think first is leveraging some of the mapping tools that are available, mm-hmm. and understanding what soil varieties exist within any given space or any given ahupua'a. And we have such a diversity of soil here in Hawaii. You know, there's 12 soils, broad borders globally, and we have 10 of the 12 here in Hawaii, 9 out of the 12 just here on Oahu.
Wow.
So I've always kind of, because of that, viewed Hawaii as this beautiful natural laboratory where AINA-based science can really flourish based on that diversity. There's just so much to learn from Hawaii soils and how they were formed. And so that's kind of the first part of it, is looking at the soil diversity in that space and understanding what that diversity is telling you about the climate. Is it dry? Is it highly weathered? Is there a lot of organic matter, et cetera? The other part is kind of understanding the land use history within that space. You know, was it subject to intense plantation agriculture for more than a century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if so, that's going to definitely alter the properties of that soil and potentially change what kind of management strategies you employ on that space.
Mm-hmm. Now, Daniel, could you give me some examples of actual, let's say, areas that you've worked with a customer and identifying improvements to the soil that have contributed to their particular crop? I mean, and where might these take place?
Yeah, so I want to preface this saying that we're brand new. We're managing a couple projects, but I can definitely speak to one.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Hawaii Island, where the steward has identified practices in that ahupua'a that were in the mo'olelo of that space. The space itself had undergone more than a century of sugarcane plantation, but this group is focused on restoring the agroforestry systems within that space. And so in partnership with them, we are restoring some of those practices that existed in the ahupua'a to grow kalo, to grow ulu, and not only the traditional practices that existed there, but also, you know, we're in a new climate today compared to pre-colonial, pre-plantation. You know, we have new invasive species growing everywhere. We have new pests, et cetera. And so another thing we're looking at with this partnership is potentially how can the invasive species be used to promote soil health? Can we convert them into a byproduct or an amendment that can be used to support the cultural and agricultural goals of that system?
How did you kind of come into contact with this particular, customer on the Big Island?
Yeah, so a lot of the, we go about identifying new partnerships and stuff through our community.
Mm-hmm.
And cultural alignment. And so we're in a pretty formal partnership with the Purple Mai'a Foundation. Want to just give that foundation a huge amount of thanks for everything they've done and everything they've done for us. And then myself and Kuha'o also have connections and partnerships throughout this space, where if, you know, we're looking at applying for a grant or looking to manage a project of an existing grant, we can kind of reach out to these folks that are doing this really good work and try and put some analytical tools behind the traditional practices that they're implementing on their space.
Right, right. And you know, I do want to explore what you as Makali'i Metrics are considering with the relationships that you have. Let's say, you know, Purple Mai'a is a good one. And obviously you have pretty good connections with, you know, like the Office of Indigenous Knowledge. And I think, you know, we met because of Elemental Impact. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, where that could potentially lead you. But we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Daniel Richardson, founder of Makali'i Metrics. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lam right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Daniel Richardson. He's the founder of Makali'i Metrics, a company that empowers the Aina with data. And right before the break, you know, we were talking a little bit about some of the relationships, Daniel, that you guys have fostered. And, you know, we've had many of them kind of on this radio show. Purple Mai'a is one example, and, you know, Elemental Impact. Love those guys over at the Office of Indigenous Knowledge. You know, I sense that being that you're kind of brand new and potentially have a great opportunity to kind of grow this sector, what are your thoughts on taking some of those relations and perhaps entering into an accelerator program or, you know, taking it to the next level of perhaps, you know, scalability?
Yeah. Obviously, like you said, we're brand new and so super eager for any opportunity that comes our way. We've, like I said, been very fortunate to partner up with Purple Mai'a, who has a wide reach here in Hawaii. Also, want to give a special shout out to the High Tide Incubator through University of Hawaii. George Yarbrough, they've done a tremendous job in kind of sharpening our vision, sharpening our business sense, and really guiding us and connecting us to other folks that we might not have connected with otherwise. And so I think those accelerator opportunities are great. And of course, we'd be eager to explore others that come our way.
Are those something that you are kind of actively looking into, or from a business standpoint? You know, oftentimes businesses, as they start up and get their sort of experience under their belt, you know, they're out there looking for customers, right? They're looking to fill their portfolio with customer examples before actually going to the accelerator, so that they can show sort of a business model. What do you see your time being most occupied doing?
Yeah, well, we have a few projects ongoing at the moment that definitely takes a decent chunk of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mentioned our current kind of North Star of that laboratory space. I think with that physical space, we can kind of further demonstrate the value that we can provide to Hawaii. And just show a lot more support, a lot faster turnaround times, and a lot more relevant data exchange as it relates to Hawaii's agricultural context. And so that's kind of our focus at the moment, is our current projects and then raising funds to secure this laboratory space.
Are you pretty much self-funded at this stage of the game, or have you been able to bring in any investor dollars?
We are fairly independent. High Tide does offer a little bit of seed funding, mm-hmm. to its accepted cohorts. And so we're very grateful for that. But a lot of our, you know, current fuel comes from the grant opportunities we've been awarded. And it just gives us these projects to kind of communicate out and ideally capture more folks that are interested in projects like these.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the indigenous knowledge part of what it is that Makali'i Metrics does is really looking at the depth of the aina and the stories that have been handed down over generations. Is that, for the most part, how do you kind of directly link that with the data aspect of Makali'i Metrics? Is there a, obviously, if you're going to be looking at generational periods of time, you have to collect quite a bit of data. So how do you find the way to kind of align yourself with the sort of the generational indigenous knowledge base and some of the more current data gathering efforts?
Yeah, so one of the examples I like to use is those stories, you know, they obviously predate technology, mm-hmm. or modern technology here in Hawaii. Hawaiian history was not always written pre-colonial. And so when these stories were passed down over generations, they're told in a way that you can remember. It really is a memorable experience to hear this story, which oftentimes really relates to the space, the aina, the topography, the rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always liken those stories to like an original hard drive, because there's the way that they're told, the way that they're remembered and passed down, the stories themselves are like a data storage system that predates the hard drive here in Hawaii. And so if we can link a project or a space to those mo'olelo, I think it just adds not only potential success in terms of what had been successful in that space previously, but also new successes in terms of what new things can people learn from this space? How much further can we broadcast these stories? And how much interest can we gather around these Aina-based sciences by weaving these in?
Yeah, no, that kind of reminds me of, you know, kind of like the stories of the, like the Na'ulu rains that come in from Haleakala and feed sort of the water to Kaho'olawe. So anyway, that's kind of a story that comes to mind when you talk about sort of this generational storytelling and how it affects the Aina. I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about the intersection of things like data sovereignty as you start to get, you know, more into the indigenous knowledge aspect and then the data gathering aspect, and where does data sovereignty sort of play into your handling of the data?
Yeah, that's a great question and a current hot topic. And, you know, you have to be pretty sensitive when you're bringing technology into these spaces and into new communities, especially here in Hawaii, because, you know, I'll touch on the plantation system again. That was at one point in time a group of folks that thought that they were modernizing or bringing new technologies to a space. And that space already had a ahupua'a in existence. That space had generationally demonstrated success living with the land. And so with that said, we obviously want to be very careful about how that data is handled. Today is, you know, a lot of open source, a lot of, you know, big data sets. How can they all work together and be linked? But it really goes back for us to that relationship that we're building with the Aina stewards and what they want to see their data doing. If they want it retained within their group and nobody else, then we honor that and we establish that upfront with them. You know, if they want it broadcasted, published, used for model building, that's great too. But, you know, at this point in time, in Hawaii's history, agriculturally especially, we definitely want to honor the folks that are stewarding that space.
Well, Daniel, yeah, you know, I think we have lots to talk about in the future about data sovereignty, and I really appreciate you sharing all of this. Where can people find out more about Makali'i Metrics?
Our website, makali'imetrics.com, or, you know, there's blurbs on Purple Maia's Instagram. Go check it out.
Okay, thank you. Daniel Richardson is the founder of Makali'i Metrics, a company that empowers the Aina with data. And of course, Daniel, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Mahalo, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the Pisces Stars program. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR1 every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.